Good evening, everyone. We'll sing two songs out of the Red Book, and then we'll have a prayer, and then we'll have Roger come up and speak to you. And we'll start with number 345 in the Red Book. 345. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, a time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and glorious morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of His resurrection share. And when the chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Number 177. I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Grant it, Jesus, this my plea. Daily let it ever be. Just a closer walk with Thee. Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? Let me walk close to Thee, just a closer walk with Thee. Grant it, Jesus, this my plea. Just a closer walk with Thee. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me to that peaceful shore. with thee. Grant it, Jesus, this my plea. Daily let it ever be just a closer walk with thee.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this another opportunity to assemble in your name this evening. We're thankful, Father, for the congregations that meet in this area. We're thankful for the strength and the abilities that you've given us. Help us, Father, to ever use those abilities, and we might further the gospel and teach the truth. Help us to always use the Bible as our guide. We're basically thankful, Father, for our guests this evening, Brother Roger and Lewis. We're basically thankful, Father, for the work that's being done in the Philippines. We ask you to continue to grant him strength and ability to present that truth. We know, Father, there has been some disasters in that area, and we just pray that the people would be able to mend those tragedies and lean on one another and strengthen each other to help them get back to their normal way of life. We pray, Father, that you would continue to bless the efforts in the Philippines and bless all those who are trying to preach the truth in that area, as well as all the places in the world that is the truth is presented. Father, we just pray that you would give those people the strength and ability to continue to teach the truth. Help us, Father, to never weaken from the things around us that might discourage us, that might make us want to wonder if we're truly following the Bible and if things are not going the way that we think they should. Help us to look to you for your mercy and your grace and strength in all of our efforts. We just pray, Father, that your name will continue to be glorified in the congregations, that you will continue to bless all the work that's being done in the congregations. Be with Brother Roger this evening, and we just ask that you would give him the ability to present the thoughts that he's prepared. We're thankful for his presence, and we praise you and him for him being here this evening. Be with each of us, Father, as we listen to Brother Roger, and help us to be encouraged with the efforts that are being put forth in that area. Ask you to be with us in our weaknesses, strengthen us and encourage us, guide us and direct us always in all the things we say and do. All this we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Again, I remind you that there is a mic and this is being recorded, so if you have a comment, please wait on the mic and ask your question on the mic so it can be heard. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I praise God because he allowed me to be back again to visit you, and as I can see, I can still recognize some faces, but you know, I have forgotten names. But deeply in my heart, I really appreciate your invitation and your presence tonight. As usual, brethren, I'm asking you to forgive my English, because we never use English in my country, and we use a different language, but English is just, I learned English in college and also when I was in the military. So please forgive my English. If you don't understand the words that I will be using it, raise your hand and said, Roger, repeat that word and I'll be happy to repeat it for your understanding. Because, brethren, for me it's easy to translate English to my dialect. It's really easy for me for that because I'm used for our language. But thinking in my language, Tagalog, and trying to translate in English, and thinking for the proper word and a correct grammar, and that's really bothered me so much. So please bear with me, brethren, and please understand me. Well, I would like to brief you something very important, not only in the scripture, about the situation in the Church of the Philippines. In my country, there are about, in my own recollection, there are about 5,000 churches all over the Philippines. So, the church in the Philippines was started by the American soldier when they were stationed in my country. And there are different kinds of course practice. We have the institutionalism. Oh my. Then we have the liberal, they call themselves liberal. Then we have the one cup, we have the bailing, we have the conservative, and of course we have also the instrumental brethren. So when I say 5,000 to 6,000 is a different kind of practice, but we wear the same name, Church of Christ. And as I'm saying to Brother Lowell, and when we go somewhere that we are still disturbed because there are some American brethren coming to my country, and they are introducing, I should say, imported doctrine. I say imported because it is not applicable in my country. It is not really acceptable, especially when we try to look on the Bible. To give you some example is, they said it is wrong to eat in the building. So, I think it's not applicable in my country because most of the churches in the Philippines, they don't have building like this. They assemble together in their homes. So if you said that it is wrong to eat where they assemble, then where do what place that they are going to eat? So it's not really work, brethren. And another thing is, they said that they are coming from Alabama. They said that it is wrong to a woman to ask question on the Bible study. They said they used the First Corinthians that they need to ask question to their husband at home. And I think it doesn't work, brethren, in my country, and I hope even here, because how about the widow? How about the sister in Christ that their husband is not yet Christian? So it doesn't work, brethren. It doesn't work. And lately, another brother coming from Florida, and he said that, oh, you need to use King James Version only. King James Version only. And he said, American standard and NIV, whatever translation is wrong. And we were confused, brethren. Brethren in the Philippines were confused because how do we know that this is King James Version? Because there is letter K, letter J, and letter V. That's why it is King James Version, and we don't know. So we were confused all over this kind of practices, imported doctrine that I call it. But I tell you, brethren, it's almost 18 years exactly, 2008 now, and I think 1995, where Brother J. Graham, if you know J. Graham and Mike Kirby, they are the first evangelists who come and visit our country in 1995. And then it was followed by Brother Lewis, Tom Woody, Rick Sparks, and Dan Hap, Charles Fry, what else? Rick Sparks.
Charles Ross, wasn't that one of them?
Charles Ross, yes, Charles Ross. And I tell you, it's really the outcome, the result of their coming and sacrifices is really a wonderful result in my country right now. Because as of this date, most of the churches are very much interested how the church growing by faith and having leaders in the church. So I appointed elders in Makabibi 6 years ago, and before I fly in the United States last June 19, I appoint again elders in Cagayan. And hopefully, Lord's willing, when I going home, I'll be appointing elders again in Mindanao. So, I think that is very crucial for us in the Philippines, because when we have elders, they can now protect the congregation. So, if these American brethren are coming again and keep insisting those kind of doctrines which is not really fitted for Filipinos, or even in the Bible, it's not fine in the Bible, then maybe the elders, stop it, brads. So I think that's very important to have elders now, to take care for the church and to feed the church, to shepherd the church, and hopefully the sheep will not be disturbed anymore for this kind of problem. So we don't have problem in my home congregation, because when Jay and Mike arrived in my home, in our home congregation, it is just a matter of confirmation for us, because we have already elders when Jay and Mike arrived in 1995. So it's just probably telling, oh yeah, we have already elders, and these brethren are coming and they are emphasizing the importance of the elders. So I thank you, brethren. I know you support your evangelists in coming to the Philippines. Thank you for helping them. And I thank you also for praying for us. Thank you for your support, for giving us Bibles, giving us songbook. And of course, you also provide benevolence for our brethren who are victims of different kind of calamity in the Philippines. So I very much thank you to all of you, brethren. Thank you very much. So that's the situation now in the Philippines. And please keep on praying for us, because we have problem there. And I believe that you have also problem here. So we need to pray to one another. So let me share with you subject which we believe as Filipino. If you don't agree, that's fine. It's okay. But this is what we believe, brethren. According to the scripture, this is what we understand. So if you have some question later on after after my speaking, please share with me, so that we can encourage one another, we can study one another. Well, I want to talk to you, brethren, about faith, the Bible faith that we believe in the Philippines. And I believe, we believe in the Philippines, that the subject of faith is from Genesis to Revelation. It's not only in the book of Hebrew or Romans. We believe that faith is from Genesis to Revelation. And I want to share with you, brethren, what we understand as Filipino about faith. And I'm not here to teach you what this faith is all about, because I know you understand what is faith. And let's just study together, brethren. If you have your Bible, please open with me at the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Well, I believe you can even memorize this verse. Remember this? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed. The gospel of Christ. power of God unto salvation. It's very important, brethren. It's very important verse. But in verse 17, please read in verse 17 with me, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So, it means that it is from the beginning up to the end. It is said faith to faith. So, it is written, brethren, it says here that the righteous man shall live by faith. Do you remember where Paul quoted this verse? Do you remember where he quoted in the Old Testament? It is in Habakkuk, right? Habakkuk chapter 2. And I believe that Paul used this phrase 3 times in the New Testament. So when he repeated this phrase, it means, brethren, it's very important. The righteous shall live by faith. It's very important, brethren. And I think that is one of the answer of the Lord when Habakkuk is questioning the situation of the people of God under the arms of the Babylonians. And I think Habakkuk is something like he's trying to see what's happening to his brothers and sisters. And I think he even say, Lord, this is unfair. This is unfair. And Habakkuk said, how long? How long, Lord, that we have this kind of punishment? Or how long that we have this kind of hardship in the arms of these wicked people? They are wicked than we are, O Lord. And I believe that the answer of the Lord is said, Habakkuk, the righteous shall live by faith. So it's very important, brethren, that we need to consider that. I know you have a lot of problem too, and we have a problem in the Philippines. And we don't know what will happen in the next month or next week. We don't know if there is another 9/11. We don't know if there is another hurricane or tornado. Or in the Philippines, typhoons. We call it typhoons. But the Lord said, the righteous shall live by faith. And one word that I always consider, it is in chapter 2 of Habakkuk also, verse 20. Let's read that because it's very important phrase, brethren. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. When something happened, brethren, we don't understand what's going on. Let's just keep silent and trust the Lord because the Lord said, I am in control. I am in control. So whatever it is, brethren, if we will die in any kind of death, sickness or cancer or any kind of death, so what? As long that we are with the Lord, we will be going home. We will be going home. To die in Christ is gain. You remember his apostles. He allowed his apostle to be killed, beheaded upside down. And they were chosen as an apostle. Why God allowed them to suffer this kind of death? Where death is not necessary for the Lord. Important is our faith, our righteousness, because he said, the righteous shall live by faith. So let's continue serving the Lord, brethren. Let's continue and we don't give up. Whatever happened, it's okay. As I have said, this world is not our home. We have our eternal home in heaven. We have peace of mind in heaven. No more death. No more crying, he said in Revelation chapter 20. No more tornado or no more hurricane that you have. And no more typhoons. And the Lord said, all things have passed away. And that's the only hope that we have especially we Filipino, that's the only hope that we really look upon. So, it says here, brethren, let's continue. In Romans chapter 3, in the same book, Romans chapter 3, verse 25, it says here, therefore, what is therefore? It's trying that whatever I said before, I will say this. This is the conclusion of what I previous word that I say about faith, Paul said. Okay, so let's continue on chapter 5, verse 1. Having been justified by faith, so we have peace with God, and we can sleep, brethren, in peace and not bother ourselves on what's going on in this immoral world. So if we have been justified by faith, the Lord said, we have peace with God. So sometimes we were disturbed. Sometimes we were discouraged. Sometimes we were disappointed. But the Lord said, no, don't be disappointed. Live by peace with the Lord. And in chapter 9, brethren, chapter 9 in the same book, let us read more verses to satisfy our study on faith. In Romans chapter 9, verse 30 to 32, we can read here that the Gentiles become righteous by faith. The Gentiles become righteous by faith. But in verse 31, it's very important to consider, brethren, but the Israel, who are this Israel, the chosen people of God, but the Israel pursuing a law of righteousness did not arrive of that law. Why? Why this chosen people of God pursuing a law of righteousness and did not arrive on that law? You know why? Well, my Bible says in verse 32, because they did not pursue it by faith. So you see, they are chosen people of God, but they did not arrive to the law of righteousness because they pursue it not because of by faith. So it's very important, brethren, for me and for you to understand and consider what is faith is all about. In our present time, brethren, in our present life, there are so many religious pursuing righteousness, but they fail. Why? Simply because it is not by faith. They use their emotion, they use their wisdom, they use their feeling, they use their pride, they use books, and not the Bible. Faith is very important, brethren, because it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, you can memorize this, and we can memorize this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the faith is very important, brethren. And of course, faith is always coming from hearing the word of God, the word of Christ. Well, some people, they use books to help them to understand what is faith is all about. And they use book like, how do you call this, commentaries, dictionaries, something like that, and others. There are so many books that they use, brethren. Well, I'm not saying it is wrong to use those books. I'm not saying it's wrong. But before we are going to use those books, be sure that you read first the Bible before you get some ideas from others. Because sometimes it will become wrong when we preach the commentaries of other people. Because the commentaries is not inspired by God. The book is inspired by God. The Bible is inspired by God. And I believe it says in Isaiah chapter 34, remember that verse, Isaiah chapter 34, he said here in verse 16, seek from the book of the Lord. seek from the book of the Lord. And I believe commentaries is not the book of the Lord. Even the binds, even the dictionary. Seek from the book of the Lord, not one of these will be missing. That's what my Lord said. Not one of these will be missing. None will lack his mate. The Bible doesn't need another books to understand the Bible. The Bible doesn't need a mate. His mouth has commanded. His mouth is coming from the Word of God. His Spirit has gathered them. You see, it is inspired Word by God. And in verse 16, his hand was divided it by line. They shall possess it forever from generation to generation. They shall dwell in it. So it's very important, brethren. When something happens, well, people just love to go to national bookstore in our country, and they try to look for the test bestseller books, you know, and, oh, how to go to heaven. Ah, so they read that book. I'm not saying it is wrong, but be sure, brethren, we have the 66 book. 66 books. Try to read the 66 books. And the Bible said it doesn't need mate. And I believe everything in the Bible is already here. No need for other books. Other book is just supplement, just comparing if you have the same understanding of them. So, let's go very quickly, brethren, on the Bible faith. Let's go to the Bible faith that I'm trying to encourage you, brethren. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, before the cross and after the cross. Let's see some good example here. What is the true meaning of faith, Bible faith? So, in the Bible, faith means the assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of the things not seen. So, when we say Bible faith, it means it is dependability. Dependability. It must be trust. It must be reliance. It must be confidence, trustworthy. It must be faithfulness. That is Bible faith, brethren, that we understand as Filipino. Because when we have the Bible faith, sometimes produce a radical decision and it will be followed by radical action also. Remember that word, radical. Let's start with Abraham. I know you have been reading Abraham. God promised a child and Abraham believed God. He believed God. And I cannot imagine that at the age of 99 and 100 years old, they can still have a child. In my country, when you reach 45 years old, it's really hard already to have a child. But here, they're almost 100 years old. And the Lord said, you can have a son. Well, by faith, brethren, Abraham believed God. But do you think, brethren, that Abraham can have the baby by saying, yes, Lord, I believe in you, and he's just watching Sarah? That Sarah will be getting bigger and become pregnant? No. He need to sleep with Sarah. And that is faith, brethren. When we say faith, it always followed by action. It's not just, Lord, yes, I believe, but we need to go on action. So I believe that Abraham slept with Sarah. And now the problem here, brethren, is when the Lord commanded Abraham to offer his son Isaac to be burned. Now, this is what I'm trying to tell you, brethren. When you have the Bible faith, you can have a radical decision. You're willing to burn your only son or only daughter for the Lord. Well, I don't know if I were in Abraham's shoes, I don't know how to respond to God. How about you, brethren? If you are in the shoes of Abraham, he said, burn your son for me. It's really hard. It's really hard. But anyway, Abraham made a radical decision to burn his son Isaac to demonstrate his faith to God. Like James said, faith without action is dead. Is dead. So Abraham justified by his action, not only by faith, brethren. Always faith followed by action. Like the Lord said, if you have the small faith like a mustard, the seed of the mustards, you can remove the mountain, thrown it to the ocean. Can we do that? Well, let's try. This is small, not like a mountain. By faith, I can transfer this pitch pipe on the other side. By faith. You want me to do this? Well, I can show you, brethren, by faith. Let's try. You want me to try? Yes. It's easy. Well, faith is always accompanied by action. Faith is not a magic, brethren. It's not a magic. Faith is action. Alive. Moving. So when we have this faith, let's do something to please God, to honor God, to our family, to our grandparents, young people, to our wife, to our husband, to our relatives, to our neighbors, to our brethren in Christ. Let's do something. Because the Lord says, if you do this to the least of my people, you did it to me. So, brethren, let's just, okay, yes, Lord, I believe you. I'll just go someday. Let's do something, brethren. Let's do something to please God. You know, if you do your part as a husband or wife, being a partner, then God will be pleased. How we parenting our children, how we bring them in the church, that will be pleasing to God. Don't give up, brethren. Don't give up. Satan never gives up. He never gives up. He is busy. And we want to be busy, brethren. We want to be busy. Remember what Elijah said? Well, Lord, I'm alone. And the prophet of Baal is 450. Could you imagine that, brethren? The ratio? 1:450? And the Lord said, well, the harvest is already ready, but there are only few workers. Don't just rely to your evangelists. Don't just rely to your elders. We need to work together. I believe you have some office mate. I believe you have classmates, young people. I believe you have friends. I believe you have relatives. Do something. And God, remember, it's not you. God will give the increase. Keep on sowing, and God will give the increase. It is not in our time, in His time. He's the one converting. It is not us, brethren. So let's just keep on sowing. Do something. And the Lord said, that's my children. That's my family. Jesus will not coming back again here to preach the gospel. He rely on His people. He rely to His friends like us. He rely to all of us to bring more soul in His kingdom. And if we can bring one soul, you know what's happening in heaven? They're rejoicing. Just one soul. Well, brother, we're discouraged, and you encourage them to be back, rejoicing in heaven. Well, don't give up, brethren. We don't give up. In the Philippines, I keep on telling our brethren there, don't give up. Don't give up because, brother Roger, why we are losing this? Why we have not this? Well, the Lord said, whosoever continue up to the end shall be saved. This is the testing of our faith. God allow us to be in that condition for almost giving up so that we can rely on God and walk by faith and not by sight. If he almost giving up and the Lord said, come on. He always allow us to go on those process. And he will be happy when we say, yes, Lord, help me. Yes, Lord, I will not give up. Another example, brethren, about Moses. Remember Moses? Well, Moses in my Bible, it says that he refused to be called the son of the daughter of the kings. He refused to be the son-in-law of the president of the United States or president of the Philippines. And Moses, I believe that he refused to stay in the White House. He refused to stay in the royal array. And he neglected his position. He neglected his power. And Moses prepared to serve God and to suffer with God's people. And that is faith, brethren. That is faith. If we have that kind of faith, we can resign as the general manager of this universe. If we have that faith. Faith with action. Well, it says in verse 26, Moses reckoned that to suffer scorn for Jesus was worth far more than all treasures of Egypt. Ah, that's a wonderful verse, brethren. Moses reckoned that to suffer and scorn for Jesus was worth far more than all treasures of Egypt. Moses kept his eyes on the future reward. Not in this world, brethren, but in heaven. Not in heaven. So Moses again, brethren, made a radical decision by faith. He forgot all what he has. And that's the same thing in Philippians chapter 2. Remember that verse. Verse 1 to 5. Have this mind, which is also in Jesus Christ. He is God. He's not only form of God. He is God. But he emptied himself. He emptied himself. If we empty ourselves, remove what we have, background of any religion, any scholars that we have, and we just let the Lord to come in, then God will work in us. God will work in us. Well, another example, brethren, is in Hebrew, again, the same book about Rahab. Is that Rahab? Rahab. Rahab. Oh, Rahab. 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 We call it Rahab. Well, I hope it will be acceptable to you. Rahab. We call it Isaac. Like I'm saying to all of you, when you say Isaac, if you say that in the Philippines, they will be probably bringing you to the hospital. So I think Isaac is much better, brethren. So Rahab, brethren, remember this story. He welcomed the spies. He welcomed the spies, and she doesn't even know these people. She risked her life. And that's faith. Sometimes our faith is risky. Sometimes we give our life, and that's what the Lord wants, because he gave also his life to us. And Rahab made a radical decision to protect the man of God rather than to her own city or to her country. And that is faith, brethren. It's functioning. It's really alive. It's not only a capital F-A-I-T-H. It is moving, alive, and functioning. Well, in the New Testament, I think there's a good faith that demonstrates our brethren in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44, you know this story. You know, the brethren there, that's why when there is a famine or hardship in Judea, you know why? You know why that there's a famine in Judea? Because they sold all their properties before. Remember in Acts chapter 2? They sold all their properties to help these people coming from different region. They sold their properties. And they don't even know also these people from different region. But because of faith, they made a radical decision also to share what they have. And that's faith, brethren. That's very faith. And I think one more example is very important for me, for us being a Filipino. Our brother Esteban. Remember the story of brother Esteban? Esteban?
Close enough.
Thank you, brother. Well, we call again Esteban. Esteban. The same, probably. Well, again, do you remember the last word before Esteban died? It's very important, brethren. In Acts chapter 6, verse 5 up to Acts chapter 7, up to verse 59, if we can summarize this, brethren, Stephen is a pool of faith. They stoned him to death. And he said before he died, Lord, do not hold their sins against them. Wow. I don't know if somebody's killing me. And I said, Lord, it's not their fault. But that is faith, brethren. And I believe Esteban heard something also happen in the past. That's why he imitate this kind of words. I believe he heard also what the Lord said when he was on the cross. Father, forgive them. And that's faith, brethren. Very strong faith. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And Paul, this is the last verse that I'm going to use. Paul made this statement to Timothy. I know you know the faith of Paul. We've been studying Paul so many times. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. Don't give up. Let's finish, brethren. Until we die, let's finish serving the Lord by keeping our faith. I have keep the faith. So, brethren, how do we pay? How do we keep our faith if our faith is not in action? Faith is our life, brethren, and starting from our baptism and dying moment, keeping our faith in serving the Lord. Don't give up, brethren. We never give up in the Philippines. Never give up. If we will die all in the Philippines because of typhoon, as I have said, we'll be going home. We'll be going home. We have our eternal home in heaven. And please, please bring your family in going to heaven. Do not allow Satan to sneak or to get your children in his domain. Father and mother are very faithful, walking together, coming to the church every Sunday, but how about your children? How about your grandchildren? For me, I am also a father. I cannot say to my children that, all right, I love you. Mom and dad will go to heaven and you go to hell. I cannot do that. Let's do something, brethren. Let's do something. Don't give up. If they are going astray, young people now are, they were hooked by what they see on the TV, what they watch on the movie. Fine. That's fine. Why? It's already advanced information here. Remember the prodigal sons? That's already information to us, advanced information. If that story has happened before, and I believe it will be happened today. But do you remember the father's doing? Never give up. Keep on waiting, praying that his son will be back. That's why don't give up, brethren. Don't give up. We can defeat Satan. The Lord said in Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things. We can do all things, brethren. We can transfer again here. Through Christ, who is strengthening us. We cannot save our children. We cannot even save ourselves. Let's just do our part as member of this family, member of this church. Remember, you love your country and I love my country. I love very much Philippines. And I believe Philippines will be gone someday. And of course your country will be gone. But we have a nation. Remember when Daniel said, we have a nation will stand forever. Even the gates of hell shall not prevail on it. And that's the church. We, you and me, brethren, is preparing to that nation that will endure forever. So hang on, brethren. Please pray for us in the Philippines as we do the same to all of you. We have the same problem, maybe this different kind of view, but the same problem. One enemy, Satan. So let's pray one another, and I believe we'll be going home one of these days. So thank you, brethren. Thank you very much, and I really miss you. I miss you, when I recognize people here that I know. I really miss you because I don't know why. The first time, like I've said, the first time I came here in the United States, the second time that I'm going around again, then I don't want to come back. I don't want to come back to the United States. I was confused. I was disturbed and I don't know what's going on. But God allowed me to return again on the third time, fourth time, and I think this is my fifth visit. And I understand what's going on now. I understand. Well, before, as I have said, I even questioned the Lord. Lord, this is unfair. You know why? Well, when we were in Kirksville, I'm sitting with my brother Louis. The song leader said 202. So we are holding the same book, the same color, but different. They're different. There are two blues that you have. And I think you have almost four songbooks here. We don't have four songbooks in the Philippines. And one songbook, sometimes we borrow one another. You know, and even Bibles. You have plenty of Bibles here. I can see there, anywhere. And we don't have Bibles in the Philippines before. But God allowed me to come back. And God showed the love of my brothers and sisters here in the United States. Until you send money to buy songbook and to buy Bibles for your family in the Philippines. And I said, oh yeah, I understand now what's going on. And I thank you, brethren. I thank you for helping us as your family in the Philippines. That's why I have said this visit is just, it's not teaching you. I know you have been studying a lot, but I just miss you and I just want to inform you what's going on your family in the Philippines. And one of these days, if you cannot come to the Philippines, I can assure you that you can see them in heaven. And that's the deal. That's the deal. If the Lord's will, that this is my last trip, or we will not see each other in again in flesh, the deal is, let's see each other in heaven. See you there, brethren. See you there. Thank you and God bless you. And I would like to convey this love to all of you from your family in the Philippines. Thank you very much. Do you have any question?
In the Philippines, is there any government restrictions, local restrictions or whatever, that you can't build churches or you have to meet in your homes or they're not allowed or anything like that?
No, we don't have problem on that. We can buy a land or space, then we can build our building. And in the congregation that I'm working, we are using an office. So we can meet everywhere in the Philippines. There is no restriction over there. So we have no problem on that, brother.
How many people are in a normal, you know, on average in each church that you help? And do you guys suffer any persecution for trying to present the gospel the way that you believe it to be?
When it comes to preaching the gospel, we don't have any persecution. It's open. You know, in my country, but there is a problem in Mindanao, wherein in Mindanao is mostly it was controlled by the Muslim, and the Muslim, I think they don't care about the gospel, but they robbed the house of the brethren, and there is an incident that one brother was killed by them, shot by gun, and because he's trying to protect his daughter to be raped by them. But they shoot him and they still rape the daughter. So that's the only problem. But when it comes to preaching the gospel, we don't have problem in the Philippines. The only problem is the atrocities of this Muslim in Mindanao. So I think please include that in your prayer, because in Mindanao it's really it's not safe, especially for foreigner and to Christian, I'll be staying there. Yes, sister.
Do you still visit all the little congregations that we've read about, you know, in some of your letters? How often do you get around to visit them and see how they're working? Are there still small congregations that are not privileged to have elders yet? How do you try to work with them, even to stay, you know, with your home congregation?
Well, right now, I have poor who are working with me right now, My younger brother Arsenio was also sent out by the elders in my home congregation, and Ginny Chris Arceda was also sent out by my home congregation elders. And we have another one, Rolly Abainsa, but he was not yet sent out. He's working with the elders in Makabibi. Hopefully, they will recognize him also and send him out. And another one is hopefully that the elders in Mungo congregation in Cagayan, they will send out Saul Pagulayan. So this time, it's really a great help for me when I have some brethren who can go with me, who can work with me, and I can do some relaxation also. And what I am doing is sometimes we divided ourselves. We divided ourselves. But when there is opportunity to appoint elders, we go together. All of us will go together. We help one another. We back up one another. And I think it's very, very fruitful to have someone on behind you. So I think that's the beauty of having elders taking care for the congregation, and they can come with me and help the brethren to have elders also in their congregation. So right now, it's really very busy for me. It's really very busy because I receive a lot of invitation. I receive a lot, and I budget my time because I have also a wife. You know, I want my wife is always smiling. I want that. I don't want my wife like doing like this. So I give time for my wife, my children, and of course I budget the other times to help different congregation. And of course, once in a while I go home to my home congregation also at Resurrection to see my dad and my mom who are not feeling well, and of course report good news to my elders and the brethren there, how God worked successfully through our effort. So that's it. That's how we work right now.
In a new congregation, do you have a training period for elders, or do they train themselves within the congregation?
Well, we every Churches of Christ in the Philippines, they call them preacher.
Mm-hmm.
The preacher. So when I go around, they invited me. I encourage the congregation and also the preacher to look on what the patterns in the Bible. So that in Mungo congregation, Saul Pagulayan have been working for almost 25 years over there, until he requested me to come over and help him how to ordain elders. So I stay there. I've been visiting Mungo congregation for almost 7 years. So I know also those people will be appointed. But I went there and stay there for a while, and I talk to them, and I study with them, and try to look if they are qualified, as what the Bible say.
Are you as one of the preachers under eldership?
Excuse me, I did.
Are you classified as one of the preachers?
Yes, I was sent out by my home congregation. In Resurrection, wherein we have two elders.
You have two elders, and you're one of the preachers. You're an evangelist.
Yes, I am one of the evangelists.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
How much conflict do you have between the people who believe that they have to have a preacher? They have to have a preacher to be a congregation?
Preacher? Well, most of the churches in the Philippines started to have preachers.
They start with a preacher then.
Yeah, and they start a preacher. Like my dad, when my dad appoint elders in my home congregation, he doesn't have any elders also who sent him out. Mm-hmm. But my dad keep on reading the Bible and he said, oh, we need elders. So he was not sent out by the elders, but when he saw that there's a pattern to be followed, my dad appoint elders wherein my dad is not under any of the elders. So the problem, we don't have problem on these preachers, because right now they invited me to come over on their congregation and we study a lot about the eldership.
What if you went wrong as a preacher? What would remove you as a preacher?
I'm not getting right.
Brother. If you were not teaching the truth, and it was proven you were not teaching the truth, then you should be removed as a preacher or an elder, either one, right? Is that correct?
Well, well, of course, number one, to my Lord.
Yeah.
My Lord is really, I am responsible and answerable. And of course, to my elders, to my home congregation. I will be responsible with them because they recognize me as their evangelist and they trust me, and now I'm teaching different, and I think I will be also responsible with them.
Uh-huh. Do they see about your support then? Are you supported through the church?
The only support that I can get to my home congregation is their prayer. And they don't have support in terms of money.
No monetary support?
Yes, they don't have in terms of money, because most likely if you come to my home congregation, most of the money that we have a collection, something like, sometimes we have about $3, $4 collection for every week. So they cannot afford to help me.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand.
So I'm glad there are brethren here who are helping me, and I do some extra work. Like I do some consultation, and I raise chicken, I raise pigs, so that I will be surviving.
What happens if you get caught cockfighting?
Pardon me?
What happens if you get caught cockfighting?
Who caught me?
Well, if you were to get caught, what would happen?
Well, if they will report me to my home congregation that I am doing gambling, then I believe my home congregation will call me, and I need to explain why I'm playing gambling there. And if they will discipline me, probably, or whatsoever, then I will accept it. I'll accept it. And not only that, of course, I'm more responsible to my Lord what I'm doing.
I just kind of remember what your dad did to one of the elders.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yes, one of our elders, my dad said, you better resign, because one of my elders is not doing right. And I think Brother Emeterio, because we have three elders before, one is running as a politician, so my dad said, well, you cannot take care anymore the congregation, your family, because you will be getting involved to a politics. So my dad asked him to resign. So he resigned, and he's still coming to us, serving with us.
What do you feel is your biggest need in the church? As compared to here, now, of course, I realize we are at a great advantage here, but there's still sight in every congregation. What do you feel is your biggest need for your congregation?
Bible. No, Bible.
Bibles?
Yeah. Because books, this Bible. Because my prayer is every family hopefully most of the time one family is about 8 members or 7 members. If we can, if they can have maybe about 3 or 4 Bibles and they can study at home and not just relying every Sunday, and they study together and they grow together as a family, and I think that's the best that we can help the brethren, giving them this book. One Bible in my country now is about almost $8 in one Bible.
Is that a good one? Is that like your Bible?
Yeah, this is my Bible. Yeah. We have now cheaper, about 5 or 6, but it was translated by the Roman Catholic. There are additional, Deuteronomy, something like that, and we prepare to have this copy because it is more comfortable to us rather than using the translation made by the Catholic and made by other, I forgot the other one. But they are cheaper.
Are there congregations that use the Catholic Bible?
Well, of course, there are congregations, Catholic, they use their own Catholic Bible. Yeah.
Not any congregations of the Church of Christ?
No. We never used Catholic Bible. We use this Bible. King James, they said. I don't know if this is King James. So I hope that we will be all right. If, in case that this is NIV or this is American Standard, I hope we will be all right. Because they're coming that, oh, you need to use King James. Yes, sir.
Hey, just let me get the microphone. Everybody raise your hand if you've got a question, and I'll get you the microphone, because that way it gets on the tape. It's not on the tape if it's not on the mic.
Oh, I see. Do you have a college like the one at Katiandiora? There's a Sunrise Church of Christ College there.
Yes, we have. We have about 4 Bible colleges in the Philippines. One in Cagayan de Oro, the Sunrise. One in Baguio City. Sunrise was started by the brethren in Abilene. Bible school in Baguio started from Florida. One Bible school started from Texas. And one Church of Christ Bible school started by the brethren from Alabama. So we have 4 Bible school.
Was the one from Texas started by Salvador
Carriaga?
Yes, I know him real well.
Yes, he's a good man.
Yes. That's the church I went to in the Philippines. I was baptized between Lapa Lapa City and Cebu.
All right, Cebu, yeah. That's another island.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I need to get your name because sometimes we cross our way with Brother Salvador.
Oh, good.
Although I have
he lives in Fort Worth, Texas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I have a little disagreement, but I still consider him as my brother.
Would you tell us more about your family and how many children do you have?
I have only one and only wife. And she is the number 2 most beautiful women in the Philippines because my mom is number 1 and my wife agree on that. I have 4 children, 2 boys and 2 girls. My youngest, Hilario Ace, is 17 years old and he's 3rd year in college. My daughter, Queenie, just graduated from Bachelor of Science in Biology at the age of 20, and she is pursuing to become a doctor. My daughter, May Florence, graduate also for computer technology, something like IT, information technology, and she's now teaching in a computer school. And my son, my eldest son, is ECE, Electronics Communication Engineer, and he's working in Singapore. So we are blessed by the Lord for having a good family. And I think I want also to commend my dad, my father, because he's really our mentor. We are 12, 9 boys and 3 girls, but we are all Christians. And out of 9, 6 is already preaching. So we praise God for my dad, because he's really, he trained us and he really do his best to bring us in the Lord.
How old is
he? He's 81 years old, and he's now 6 years bedridden, and he can still smile, and he can still wave his hand, and he still encourages us, although he was bedridden for almost 6 years now. But sometimes he cannot remember us. He cannot remember us because of his stroke. You know, to tell you why I made my last statement, the importance of children, because my dad, this is a testimony, my dad, he said, I am your dad, I am responsible in this house, you need to attend Bible study, whether you like it or not. So all of us, we go to Bible study. So sometimes before, you know, I put the sunglasses, then I sleep there. And that's fine. That's fine for my dad. It's okay for him as long that you were there. Because he believed. He believed that there is a power of the Word of God. You know, I think 7 times already or 8 times, then I start asking question. Silly question, of course, silly question. And my dad said, wow, that's a great question. Although it's a silly question. Because I asked the Lord why he created Satan. So that's the way then the Bible is really truth. He never forced us to believe, but he forced us to attend, to listen, because he believed that faith comes from this Bible.
Was that a Church of Christ?
Yes. Yeah. My dad, we came from Wesleyan Methodist before. We came from the Wesleyan, and when my Uncle Pedro, I don't know if you still remember my Uncle Pedro, he's in your white songbook. I know it was a blood. He's the one who wrote that letter. He's the one converted first in Wanasen until my dad. They keep on studying, and my dad saw it that, yeah, I need to be baptized, I need to be to the Lord. That's it. Yes, Brother Owen.
This is kind of a follow-up to Marvin's question earlier. Would you discuss the differences, like you mentioned preachers, and we consider you an evangelist, not that you don't preach, but we consider you an evangelist sent out by a local congregation of elders.
Yes.
Well, that's our opinion of what's going on, that you are sent out. You're an evangelist.
Yes.
But when you mention preachers, you're talking about local people that derive their small income from just one congregation they preach to, right?
Yes.
And you work a lot with those people trying to help them get closer to the truth, right?
Well, yes, of course. I think it's just a matter of showing them the pattern, because I believe that they were also baptized like us. I believe that they accept also the Lord like us. It's just a matter of showing the pattern. Like in Mindanao, 8 men came in front when we asked if they are brethren here or desiring to become elders, and they have preacher. So they come 8, and, you know, they have different committee. They are serving the Lord, but committee on this, committee on that, committee on this, committee on that. But when I went there, they invited me because they heard that I'm preaching about the church government. So I showed them the pattern, the plan of God on his church. So when they said, oh, so instead that they keep continuing to have this committee, now they prepare to become an elders if they are qualified. So many preachers, you know, I don't know, they came from Alabama and Florida, that they prepared like a church planting, and sometimes you can receive letter from the preachers from the Philippines. stating that he's working 3 congregations, 4 congregations, something like that. Well, that's a problem. Because when they start this, and they start asking money, because, of course, they need money. Because they are working here, working there. But my point is, if they will concentrate on one congregation, until such time, this congregation will become mature, and there will be elders there to take care for this congregation, maybe he can walk. He can go to start another congregation. Rather than you are trying to become a superman, having this congregation here, congregation here, congregation here, congregation here. And we are not a superman. So I believe let's do everything that we can do to help this congregation to become matured until such time that there's qualified elders. Even though you get away, there's someone who will take care. So you can start a congregation again. So that is what they are doing, brethren. And I believe they are sincere. They are sincere on that. It's not really wrong, but the problem is they're not looking to the pattern. They're not looking to the pattern. The Lord said, appoint elders in every city. That is a pattern. But they said, no, we start a congregation, That's why it became a problem with them. So if there are brethren who are writing you, if you don't know them, if you want me to, if you trust me, just email me and I will tell you who they are. I will tell you who they are. Because sometimes, I'm very sorry, there are preachers, of course, they like pissing. Pissing or window shopping.
Roger, how long have you been an evangelist? When were you sent out by your elders?
1997. I was baptized when I was in college also, and I was still in the military at the time when I met them in 1995. Then I decided to get out from the military and study the Bible with my father, my dad, and until such time they recognized me as their evangelist. So that's 1997. Yes, Brother Marvin. That's fine.
I'm intrigued with your statement about Mindanao, where the Muslims are more prevalent than they are up in Manila and that place.
Yes.
I was stationed in Manila when I was in the service. And I wondered what kind of an approach you take to the Muslim to get him off the idea that Jesus hasn't come yet.
I don't know either how to approach them, because they don't believe on Jesus. They believe on their prophet.
They don't believe that he has come yet, right?
Yeah. And they believe on Muhammad.
Yes, yeah. But they believe that Muhammad predicted that Jesus would come, but he hasn't come yet.
Yes.
Isn't that it?
Yes, that's what they believe. And wow. It's really hard. It's really hard to share with them, because they have their own Bible, the Quran.
The Quran. Yeah.
So when you read here, they will use also their Bible. Hey, how about here? We have here. So it's really hard. It's really hard for them. And I don't know how to approach.
I think that's one point when we go to study with people who don't accept that Jesus has come yet, that if you don't have an agreement that the Bible is a word from God, inspired by God, it's what God wanted said, then you're wasting your time trying to talk to them, because if they don't believe that, they won't believe anything that's in it.
Yeah.
That's been my experience in working with people who don't believe that Jesus has come. They had a new revelation. Question mark.
Well, the Lord said, do not give the pearl to the pigs. It's useless. It's wasting of time. There are more people who are ready to accept the Lord.
Are they belligerent against the Church of Christ people? A Muslim? Are they belligerent against?
No, it's not really against the... No, actually they never consider, they don't care about the Church of Christ. The only thing that they are very interested in is to rob the house and to rape the children, and they do kidnapping. Remember the Beckham, the two Baptist couple, and the husband was died over there and the wife survived. That's what happened in Mindanao. And they're asking about 20 million. So they're not really concerned about what you believe. They're concerned if they can get money from you. Because their agenda, I don't know here, their agenda, the Muslim agenda, in my understanding is they want to control. They want to be in control all over the world. That's their agenda. And it is sad. It is very sad in the Philippines. There are some, not members of the church, but we call them Christian. They were transferred to the Muslim religion because of personal reason. Like, number one is you can marry four. You can have four wives. So if your wife is trying to sue you in the court, go immediately to the Muslim. And if they will allow you to come to the Muslim, then your wife cannot sue you already because you're already a Muslim. Because Muslim is authorized to have four wives. So it's very sad. It's very sad.
Are there any other questions?
Well, again, thank you. I think that's all. Yeah, everybody's looking at me, so I think I need to finish. As I have said, I love you all, brethren. Let's continue serving the Lord. Please pray for us as we do the same to all of you. Let's don't give up. Let's do something and don't give up. God bless, and if Lord's willing, I want to be back again. I want to be back, and hopefully that I can bring my wife. I can bring my wife because the purpose that I want my wife to come with me is 2 or 3 years from now, she will be retiring. And she said that she want to go with me on my evangelistic work. So I think that she will be more encouraged when she meet a lot of brethren, you know, and encouraged like what I have. And the second purpose to bringing my wife is for relaxation, because she got already 2 mild stroke, so I don't want to lose my wife to go with me. But maybe next time, because these times they don't like my wife here. Maybe next time. Your embassy in the Philippines, the U.S. embassy, they really don't like my wife to come with me, because they even accuse my wife for... No. You cannot go. You will be staying illegally in the United States. You will not be coming back. And yeah. And my wife really, huh? How could, it doesn't make sense, because she's traveling with me, number one. She's traveling. How could she staying here? Number two, our family is in the Philippines. Number three, she's working in our government. And she's about to retire, and she doesn't want to, you know, to lose all his privileges, his pension, on serving our government for almost 27 years. So it doesn't make sense. So she was very much discouraged, but, you know, when we are going home, I said, oh, no. She was very sad, really, brethren, very, very sad, but I said, oh, sweetheart, they don't like beautiful women in United States. So she smiled. At least she smiled and looked at me, and well, We go around, and I treated her to the restaurant she liked. So I hope she will try again for the third time, because for her, it doesn't forget America. That's what really the feeling of Doris, because of that appreciation. But I think with her smile, I think she will try again the next time. So please pray for us, and thank you for all your love. I miss my family, but, you know, with your love, with your smile, when you embrace me, we shake hands, and you help me to stay strong. God bless you all.
We're not finished with you yet. No, I was asked to do the invitation, or to speak of the invitation, and I think we all recognize that, you know, when we say the invitation, that it is not something that is incorporated into the function of the church as a specific doctrine, like eating the Lord's Supper or singing or praying. It is a custom. When the Bible says the Spirit and the Bride say come, that's continual, isn't it? It's constant. There is no invitation per se, other than the constant desire for the Lord, of the Lord, for people to be saved. Now here, we usually mention that desire at the end of a sermon. That's our custom, but it is not an absolute doctrine. And the reason I bring this up is because most places I've been to, Roger will sit down without offering the invitation, so to speak, and somebody else will, like me, will get up and do it. And so here's a question. In the Philippines, now I've seen many, many times after a meeting, somehow word will get around. There are five people who want to be baptized. Such and such wants to be baptized. We need to go down to the river. There's a time for a baptism. So my question is, how do souls get that information? How do they discern that they need to yield their life to God? Got a microphone? Are you want to come up?
You have to be the one asking questions because you are the one standing. No, that's okay. Well, as my brother Louis, we never have invitation after our lesson. Most of the brethren there, when they want to be baptized, you know, they come to like their father or the preacher or other brethren, and they said, I want to be baptized. So after the meeting, when we are talking, they announce it that, oh, somebody want to be baptized. So I think it is their personal conviction. It's not the singing will convict us to go to be baptized, but personal conviction for what they heard about the Word of God. But as your culture, I have no question. I love you. That's your custom, then no problem for us. But in the Philippines, they must be convicted by the Word of God. Because sometimes, I like the singing. Maybe that's the feeling. And sometimes we obey the feelings rather than having conviction from the Word of God. So most of the people there, when they are convicted, they go to whom they trust, like their father. Father, dad, I want to be baptized. So the dad said, well, come on. Or they go to the preacher, or they go to the sister, or to their mother, and to anybody, and that's it. So when we announce that they're baptism, so we go to the river immediately.
Thank you, Roger. Shall we stand and sing?
We'll sing the first, fourth, and fifth verses. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight.
Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the path of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
We'd like to thank Roger for being here and for the lesson he's presented. Thank Lewis for being here and for offering the gospel invitation. At this time, then, we'll ask for announcements. Do we have any announcements? I'd like to thank all those of you from other congregations who've come, too. We appreciate you being here. Teen study Saturday night at 5 o'clock at Grandma's. That would be Nora Lee's. Any other announcements? If not, Brother John McNeese, would you just... Was there, oh, okay. Sorry. Okay.
Brother Melvin Baldwin, your comparison is in dire straits. They didn't know whether he lived through the night last night. He's in the Carrollton Hospital, and he's on hospice, so...
Okay, that's... Melvin Bollinger?
Yes, Melvin Bollinger.
Okay.
Margaret.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Our Margaret.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Melvin Bollinger is in hospice. He needs our prayers. Any other announcements? Raise your hands high so I won't miss you. If not, John, will you dismiss us, please?
Father in heaven, we're thankful for times like this when we can hear words of faith, the reasons to have faith, the reason for our faith, the reason to believe that we can have confidence in you, knowing that you keep your promises, knowing that Jesus died for us, knowing that you love us. We're so thankful for all of this and for the way you've blessed us in life, for this blessing of being able to be here and to hear how others live, other Christians serve you, how that there are distress among all of us, how that we need faith, we need to be strong, we need to have courage. We're thankful that we can look to you and believe that you hear our prayers and that you know our needs, that you can offer us strength and courage. So be with Roger as he continues to serve you and do the work in the Philippines and other places. Be with others that serve you diligently. Help us to be stirred up and encouraged and fired up a little bit more to serve you better, to not be ashamed of the gospel or not to be ashamed of our ignorance, but to study to show ourselves approved to you. Guide us as we separate We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.